All righty. Well, we started this series several weeks ago called Going to the Top. Going to the Top. And, you know, God's got a miracle in His hand for your life this year, friends. He's wanting you to climb the ladder of your life higher and higher until you start reaching the top. Amen?
Amen.
And over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about some of the practical how-tos to climb this ladder of your life. How to go higher financially. How to go higher in your health. How to go higher in your relationships. How to go higher in your job. And last week, we talked about going higher and higher by releasing the little bit that is in your hand. You may not have a lot in your hand today. And we talked about the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17. And basically, God sent the prophet Elijah to this widow in Zarephath. And this widow was at the end of her rope. She was giving up on life. She was despairing. And Elijah came to her and she said, "Sir, I only have a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour in my possession. I'm going to make a meal for my son and myself, and then we're going to die." So this woman felt as good as dead. Elijah said, "But do this, lady." He said, "First make a meal for me. And if you do so, God will provide abundantly for you and your family." So she took the oil and the flour. She made a meal for Elijah. She sowed it into his life. And there was food every day for Elijah, the woman, and her family. You see, when she released the little bit that was in her hand, God released the much that was in His hand. Friends, this is the principle, the spiritual concept of sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest. What does the Word of God say in Genesis 8:22? It says, "As long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest." And at the present time, the earth is remaining, right?
That's right.
So seed time and harvest is still in effect, right? Every seed produces after its own kind. If you plant apple seeds, you're going to get apples. If you plant orange seeds, you're going to get oranges. If you plant seeds of kindness and love, others will give into your life kindness and love. If you sow seeds of forgiveness, you'll reap a harvest of reconciled relationships. Paul the Apostle wrote in Galatians 6:7 that whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. So we talked about last week planting a seed for the meeting of your need. And your need might be financial. You may not have a lot of money in your hand, but if God tells you to sow it into somebody else's life, sow it. You can never outgive God. He owns all the gold and the silver and the diamonds in this world. It's all God's. According to Haggai 2:8. If you sow into somebody else's life, if you sow when God tells you to sow, God will bring it back to you. You know, payday with God is not always Friday. He's never late. He's never early. God is just. He's right on time. Amen? Today, I'd like to talk with you about another spiritual principle, another spiritual key for us to practice in order to climb higher in life until we start reaching the top. It's found in the scripture we've read the last couple of weeks, Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. Another spiritual principle in climbing higher in different areas of your life. Deuteronomy 28, 13 says this: "The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom." God is wanting us to be the head and not the tail. Always at the top and never at the bottom. He's wanting us to be the lender and not the borrower. And the same thought is voiced in the first two verses of Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God." Amen. Hence today's message: do what He tells you. Do what he tells you. Today we're going to be talking about obeying God's commands. The spiritual principle of obeying the commands God has given us in his written word, the Bible. Now, obedience, like its opposites, are magnets. Obedience, like its opposites, is a magnet. You know, the opposite is disobedience, and disobedience is like a magnet. If you disobey God, you attract into your life the curses. And it talks about this in Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 and onwards. It says, if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God, these are the curses that will come upon one's life. And that's the bad news. We don't want to focus on the bad news. The good news is this, is that if you obey God, obedience to God is like a magnet that attracts the blessings of God into your life. How many here want to attract the blessings of God into your life? The hand of God's blessing upon you so that you can go higher and higher in your life. Amen?
Amen.
And I think this spiritual concept of disobedience versus obedience is well illustrated in the life and the ministry of the prophet Jonah. How many here know about the prophet Jonah?
Jonah?
Yes, in the Old Testament. The book is four chapters long. Let me give you kind of a brief historical overview of Jonah. God says to Jonah in the first chapter, Jonah, I am wanting you to go to Nineveh to preach repentance to that nation. And Jonah outright disobeys God, blatantly. He goes the opposite direction towards Tarshish. He ends up in a ship. He's at the bottom of the ship sleeping. A storm arises. So the sailors cast lots to see who's responsible for the storm. And the lot fell on Jonah. So by mutual agreement, they threw Jonah overboard. And it says that God provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. We would call it a whale. Right? So basically, the curse in Jonah's life was what? Was being in the belly of the whale. Hot, sweaty, smelly, sticky. I mean, that was the curse that he attracted into his life because he disobeyed God. God said, go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, no, I'm going to Tarshish. So in chapter 2, he cries out to God in repentance and basically says, God, I am sorry for disobeying you. If you give me a second chance, I'll do what you tell me to do. So the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And he says again, go to Nineveh and preach to it 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. And so Jonah this time obeys God's command. He goes to Nineveh, he preaches, and the entire nation of Nineveh from the greatest to the least repents and they turn back to God. He obeyed God and there was a blessing. What blessing was attracted as a result of his obedience the second time? The blessing was that the nation of Nineveh was saved and Jonah's life was spared. Is that good news? Let me ask you this today. How many here want to be caught in the belly of a whale? The curse. A submarine cruise. How many here want to be caught in that belly of the whale? Not me. How about you? I want to be a magnet for God's hand of blessing upon my life. So that I can go higher and higher in different areas of my being. How about yourself?
Yeah.
If that's you, say yes.
Yeah.
Say, I want to be
a
magnet for God's blessings upon my life. So if you want to be a magnet for God's blessings upon your life, you need to obey his commands found in this book, the Bible.
Amen.
You know, the Bible, the Old Testament has many commands from God, primarily the Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20. But the entire Bible can be summed up in the greatest commandments. And Jesus gave it to us in response to a lawyer's question to him. What is the greatest commandment that sums up the entire Bible? That's good, man. This brother is a walking Bible. All right, Tim. Good going, man. Matthew chapter 22. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34.
Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, verse 39. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The key verse is verse 40. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Another translation says that the entire Old Testament is summed up in these two commandments, loving God and loving your neighbor. So loving God with your entire being is the first and greatest commandment. And friends, you may have had an earthly father that either abandoned or abused you. And so you have some trust issues with fathers. God is your heavenly father, and never compare him to your earthly dad. God is so much more above. He's so great. He is so good. He's the author of all good things. He's got a wonderful plan and purpose for your life. Our dads were human. They were imperfect. But God is the perfect one, and he loves you perfectly. His mercies are everlasting. He's got good things in store for you, so you can trust God. Never compare him to your dad if your dad was not faithful to you. He is so good. He is so above that. Amen? He's the author of good. You can find that in Matthew 7, 11. And as you trust God, as you build this relationship with God, as you love him more and more, that love for God should spill over into your relationships with others. Loving your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, loving God and loving neighbor is like a circle, a never-ending circle. As you love God, you will love your neighbor. And as you love your neighbor, it's evidence that you love God. And as you love God, you'll love your neighbor. And as you love your neighbor, it's evidence, a demonstration that you love God. It's a never-ending circle. Now, the neighbor. Let's talk about the neighbor for just a few minutes. Yes, the neighbor is the person who lives next door to you, who sleeps in the bed that is next to yours. The person who lives a few doors down, that's your neighbor, yes. But you know what? Your neighbor also includes the person who sleeps under a bridge in downtown Tulsa. Your neighbor includes the person who walks by you on the streets of downtown Tulsa. Who is the neighbor? We're not going to get into this today, but in Luke chapter 10, Jesus gives the parable of the Good Samaritan in verses 25 and forward. The Good Samaritan. And Jesus basically expands the concept of what neighbor is. The neighbor is anyone who is in need of your help. Did you know there's somebody out there in greater need than you? You can reach out a hand and help them. And when you reach out your hand to help them, you are demonstrating to that person that you are his or her neighbor. So if you find somebody who is totally hungry on the streets of Tulsa, doesn't have a penny to his or her name, and you buy them lunch, guess what? That person is your neighbor, and you've demonstrated to that hungry person that you are his neighbor, her neighbor. If you happen to be in China for some type of trip, doing something in China, for instance, or India, or Africa, and you find somebody there in greater need than you, and you reach out to help that person, guess what? That person in China, in India, in Africa, though you reside in Tulsa, is your neighbor. Because the neighbor is anyone who is in need of your help. And when you help them, you're showing that person that you are his neighbor, her neighbor. You know, you may be the only Jesus that somebody else ever sees. We can be the hands and the feet of Jesus in this world. Amen? I want to read you an email that I received some time back, and I think it illustrates this point pretty well. It's called, Are You Jesus? A few years ago, a group of salesmen went to a regional sales convention in Chicago. They had assured their wives that they would be home in plenty of time for Friday night's dinner. In their rush with tickets and briefcases, one of the salesmen inadvertently kicked over a table which had a display of apples. Apples flew everywhere. Without stopping or looking back, they all managed to reach the plane in time for their nearly missed boarding. All but one. He paused to okay a deep breath, got in touch with his feelings, but and experienced a twinge of compassion for the girl whose apple stand had been overturned. He told his buddies to go on without him, waved a goodbye, told one of them to call his wife when they arrived at their home destination and explain his taking a later flight. Then he returned to the terminal where the apples were all over the terminal floor. He was glad he did. The 16-year-old girl was totally blind. She was softly crying, tears running down her cheeks in frustration, and at the same time helplessly groping for her spilled produce as the crowd swirled about her, no one stopping and no one to care for her plight. The salesman knelt on the floor with her, gathered up the apples, put them back on the table, and helped organize her display. As he did this, he noticed that many of them had become battered and bruised. These he set aside in another basket. When he had finished, he pulled his wallet out and said to the girl, Here, please take this $40 for the damage we did. As he did this, he noticed that many of them had become battered and bruised. I'm sorry. Are you okay? She nodded through her tears. He continued on with, I hope we didn't spoil your day too badly. As the salesman started to walk away, the bewildered girl called out to him, Mister! Here's the key. He paused and turned to look back into those blind eyes. She continued, Are you Jesus? He stopped in mid-stride and he wondered. Then slowly he made his way to catch the later flight with that question burning and bouncing about in his soul. Are you Jesus? Do people mistake you for Jesus? That's our destiny, isn't it? To be so much like Jesus that people cannot tell the difference as we live and interact with a world that is blind to his life, love, and grace. If we claim to know him, we should live, walk, and act as he would. Knowing him is more than simply quoting scripture and going to church. It's actually living the word as life unfolds, day to day. Do people mistake you for Jesus? You know, if you truly practice Matthew 22, verses 34 through 39, loving God and loving your neighbor, guess what? You're living in obedience to God's commandments. And you'll be like a magnet attracting God's blessings into your life. You'll just be abounding with God's blessings. You'll be overflowing. You'll be flooded with the blessings of Almighty God if you just heed and do His commandments. Loving Him and loving your neighbor. Who's the neighbor? Anybody who is in greater need than yourself. I dare you to reach out to somebody this week and watch what God does in your life. Back in 2006, I'll give you a personal story here. 2006, I was going through a really rough time, a great challenge in my life. I went into pretty deep depression for about a month and a half. And I was just focused on myself, in depression, was sleeping, couldn't get up. It was a terrible time in my life. And I just didn't know how to break free from it. Emotionally, I was at the bottom rung of my ladder. And I needed to go higher. And so I found two different families that were in financial need. And it was about a month and a half worth of depression that I was in. It was a terrible time. Found two families in greater need than myself financially. And I just sensed on the inside that I was supposed to sow a financial seed into each of their lives, which I did. It was a sacrifice. They were large seeds. And friend, I kid you not, I sowed that seed and I felt so good afterwards. It's like I broke free. I walked away from the depression that was trying to hold me down. I broke free from it. I started going forward with God's plan for my life. Amen. It was awesome. God blessed me. Got rid of the depression, the grief, and he increased my own business. We had a great business towards the end of that year, 2006. 2007 was probably one of the best years we had in the business, working on people's homes. 2008 was good as well. So God blessed me. I reached out to somebody in greater need than myself, And God brought it back to me 30, 60, and 100-fold. I'm still believing for the 100-fold because it was quite a large seed, but it's still coming in and I'm believing for it. Amen? And you know what? If God did it for me, friend, He can do it for you. He is no respecter of persons. He's really not. And, you know, maybe this message applies to your life emotionally. Maybe in your life today, you're at the very bottom rung in your emotions. Maybe you're despondent. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're in grief or sorrow over the loss of something. The loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of finances. I'm here to tell you today, if you reach out beyond yourself, love God and love your neighbor, the person in need, God will bring it back to you. For whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So how many here want to be a magnet for God's blessings? You want those blessings to be attracted right to you?
Amen.
Then what do you have to do?
Do
love God and love your neighbor. Sow your seed and obey. And as you're loving God and loving your neighbor, you're doing what? You're obeying God's commandments. And you will be abundantly blessed. In Jesus' name.